Hello, everybody, and welcome to our next session in the Transform Emotions into Energy series. This one is on worry, transforming worry into clarity. I'm Allison Bachmeyer, and I'm really happy that I get to share in these ways with you all. If anybody has any particular questions from any of the previous conversations or sessions that we've been engaging in this week, feel free to type them on into the chat feature. And know that on the chat feature, you can also send a message to just me privately. So if you are wanting privacy, that's an option. And you can also send messages to the group as well if you want that option. Good morning to all of you saying hello in the chat feature. So happy I get to hang out with you all again. And as we dive into transforming worry into clarity, as usual, we'll start off with a little bit of conversation. We'll chat for maybe 20 minutes or so, and then we'll head into the session. So as we learned, there's a whole lot of associations with all of these things from a Chinese medicine perspective. When we're talking about worry, one of the associations is that of the elements of earth, and that correlates to the stomach and to the spleen meridians alike. And in the earth element, worry is meant to give rise to clarity, not confusion, clarity. If worry becomes personal, as in we think that this is our worry or we have to do something about this worry that's here, then that in essence takes energy away from the stomach and the spleen meridians and the earth element and doing all of their healthy roles for us. The biggest healthy role of the earth element is to generate our nourishment, to give us a sense of being able to be here in a way that's sweet. It actually goes with the sense of taste, which is specifically the taste of sweetness. It overall governs all taste, but each element has its own particular taste to it. If you're curious what those are, I think I mentioned the rotten one with the earth, more so that's a smell, I guess. The taste that would go with the rotten metal element. So of smell, the taste is that of pungent or spiciness. The taste of, I'll go in reverse order now, of anger is actually that of rancid, almost like bad cheese. And the taste of the, sorry, that would be more the smell. I keep mixing those up. The rancid smell correlates to the taste of sourness. And I think we can probably easily see that if you've ever had a bite of rancid cheese and you're like, oh, that's just like turned sour on you. And then if I go in reverse order again, back to fear, the taste of fear is salty. The smell is putrid, almost of like the smell of urine in a way. Okay, let's come back to the earth elements. When we're working with that taste of sweetness, the smell is anything that smells really like sweet and perfumey that brings healthy fragrance. So that might be the way the blossoms are smelling in spring. My lilac tree is blooming and the sweetness of that lilac smell would be, for example, one of those things. And the other, I think, really notable thing about earth elements is that it's actually designed to create change in a way that brings you peace. Change is meant to give rise ultimately to peace, according to the earth element. And it's interesting that it correlates to the season of late summer. I always think of late summer as that time where everything just really hits that full rest, that sense of stillness that goes with that, also associated with the earth element. And stillness is where it's said that the feminine heals. The feminine is meant to heal in stillness. The masculine, in comparison, is meant to actually heal with activity, taking action. Excuse me. So as we work with the earth element overall and this emotion of worry overall, it correlates to our thinking, our conscious mind and our subconscious mind, which includes our intuitive processes. So in terms of our conscious mind or subconscious mind, those thought patterns are meant to, again, give rise to change that happens in a way that cultivates more and more peace, ultimately, and connects us to even deeper nourishments, even deeper nourishments. Now, the spleen and the stomach that I mentioned earlier, also actually I was a little bit remiss in not including the pancreas. There was a mix-up in the translation of the Chinese text in the era of the Yellow Emperor many thousands of years ago. It ultimately meant that the spleen and the pancreas kind of got interchanged a little bit. So for our purposes, we're going to consider spleen and pancreas as like one thing altogether, because in Chinese medicine, that's kind of how they view it. So the spleen, the pancreas, and the stomach alike all support the general health, in Chinese medicine terminology, of our general tissues and our muscles. So anything that's keeping us present, here, alive, all of our muscles, all of our tissues, all of our matter is a correlate here. And I like the word matter, and I always think of like it's a stretch, it's a leap. The etymology of father, of paternal, is pater. So if we take the word matter, I can't help but correlate it to the energy of the feminine, the energy of the maternal, the energy of the mother. And earth, Pachamama, earth mother, I think you can see how these all kind of nicely dovetail together. If we were to talk about the emotion itself, that of confusion, the Spanish translation of that, con, means with, fusion means something's fused together. And whenever we're in a state of confusion, it's often just that something is too stuck, too fused, too entangled in on itself. And one of the greatest gifts we can offer confusion is the earth element quality of stillness, giving it a little bit of space to breathe. And once it has that room to breathe, it's almost like, you know, that rat's nest of cords that everybody seems to have a bucket of lying around somewhere in their rooms or drawers, or maybe you even have like a whole bucket of them somewhere in your basement. Imagine we like dump those all out, and we don't necessarily struggle to untangle them all. That usually just makes things worse. But we just gently make a little bit of space. And then we can start to see, ooh, that thread's entangled here. That one's going this way. And we can get more clarity on how these things have been before fused together. So undoing the energy of worry is often that extrication process that often needs to have some time and some space to be seen, be witnessed. If it doesn't have that time and that space, it, just like fear energy, can give rise to anxiety, often in the form of disorientation. Not knowing where we are is a sign of confusion. And on day one, for anyone who's listened to the recording or was there, we talked about the five phases of fear. And the fifth phase, disorientation, not knowing where we are. I'm classic on this one. I can get lost in the airport bathroom. Anybody else? Yeah. So anytime we have difficulties navigating or orienting ourselves, that's usually a sign that there's something else going on below the surface. Yeah. So still working on that one for myself, but it has gotten a little bit better, I want to say. I think it's gotten a bit better. I don't know that Dave might agree with me, but I feel like it's better on this end. As we talk about the stomach and the spleen meridians, they correlate to, again, the thinking processes, and they also correlate to a series of muscles in our body. The muscles that go along with these earth element meridians are notably the neck muscles, the flexors and the extensors. In part, how we open to receive information or food or anything else, if we're on the gullible side, we'll have a tendency to just swallow anything that's sent our way. Yeah. Or if we are just too rigid about taking information in and we don't want that, no thank you, we might end up sort of in a different kind of holding pattern in our neck. Most of us have a little bit of both and a lot of other things combined with that going on within our neck muscles. The other one I think that's really big here is the levator scapula muscle, which helps to do this. It lifts up your shoulders, lifts up your shoulder blade, that scapula. And the pec major, we talked about the pec major, was it yesterday? No, 2 days ago. And the pec major, the part that inserts closer to the sternum, is that of the anger, the liver, gallbladder, wood element. But the part of the pec major that attaches up here by the clavicle is actually one of these muscles. It's the element of earth that governs this whole region right here where that pec muscle inserts. It also works with our brachioradialis, which in anatomy we learned was our beer drinking muscle. It's the muscle that helps to do this. So in terms of the muscles, let's see, the other big ones are the traps, the middle and the lower traps down the back body, and the triceps go with that too. So often the earth element can correlate to that energy of feeling like there is a pressure on your back, you've got the weight of the world on you. So one of the, I imagine we'll see it pop up today, one of the most healing things we can do is invite, you know, those worries, those things to get off our back, get off my back. And let's see, any other muscles? Oh, another back one, the latissimus dorsi hangs out here too, the lats. Also our palms, how we grab onto life is a part of this too. All right. Now, in astrology, as you've been hearing all these correlates to in the past sessions, these all correlate in some way to the astrological 12 houses. In astrology, they think everything goes through 12 houses, and the stomach and the spleen correlate respectively to houses number 3 and 4. Think of them in a way as going through those cycles of change in a way that's ultimately, again, meant to bring peace, if these are well aspected. So the stomach is the third house, and it works with, again, our conscious mind. And here it also works with our left brain, mostly mental activity. And the stomach is meant to be able to take in our world and digest it and assimilate it. Now, I mentioned this a few days ago, that in today's world, we have more information coming at us in one day than people a few generations ago did in their entire lifetime. Go back 6, 7 generations, life was at a very different pace than it is now. In this modern era with our technology and all the information that we're coming across, it's a lot for our minds to take in. And we've also, interestingly enough, seen, I would say pretty substantially, a rise of digestive system things going on. Now, there's a lot more to say about that whole correlation. There is the broad brushstroke. And yet, it does seem to be an overall pattern in our world, in our society. We're inundated with information, and we're seeing digestive system disorders arise pretty substantially. The stomach, we might see that show up in a variety of different ways, whether that's H. pylori, stomach acid issues, or anything else. I'm just so allergic to this, or I can't tolerate that. It might be because your digestive system, your stomach, is just an overwhelm, trying to take in and digest and assimilate life, emotions, events, experiences. That doing food as well might be a bit of a challenge at that juncture. How we digest one thing is how we digest everything as well. So how easily are we digesting the contents of our lives? It's going to mirror and get reflected in some way, shape, or form in our stomach, in our digestion, but also in our conscious mind. If we're prone to indigestion, we might be prone to more confusion, more things feeling very sticky or stuck together, or life just might seem to be filled with all sorts of complex problems, which have all sorts of layers that are intricately woven, and simplicity might be a little tougher to locate for ourselves. Yeah. And as we talk about house number, actually, I didn't mention the planet of the third house. Planetary energy here is a Mercury. And I think today is actually the last day or close to it of our current retrograde. And whenever Mercury is involved, there can be a tendency for easeful communication or communication challenges, as we sometimes see in retrograde, depending upon how your signs are aspected and where all the things are placed in your chart. Yeah. But I won't digress into Mercury retrograde. That's a few hours all on its own. Let's talk about the spleen. The spleen correlates to the fourth house. And the fourth house is very much about how it is all of our roles, identities, masks have come together as a whole, and how it is that whole combination, constellation of bits of you is interacting with your environment. Is it doing it in a way that it feels safe? If not, there might need to be more masks, more boundaries put in place. And if it's not feeling, or if it is feeling quite safe, it might be capable of actually releasing some of those layers of configured belief systems that have formed our underlying identities. The fourth house, the spleen, subconscious mind, draws on qualities of the collective, so how it is we do things in pattern form or collective habits in a way. And it can also work with, as we've heard, digestion. The lymph system. The spleen is the anchor of the lymph system. The lymph cleans out our toxins, our gunk, our waste, our low self-esteem, and it can also help to resolve our overthinking, overanalysis, or if we tend to have like looping thoughts where you just can't get off the merry-go-round or whatever that cycle of thoughts is, that can be a factor here too. The spleen also has a very substantial input into the immune system. So anything to do with acceptance and rejection ties in here as well. The natural planetary energy is that of the moon. And the sign, the astrological sign, is Cancer. Moon, Cancer alike, tend to be more emotionally laden or emotionally oriented. And the moon in particular is going to work with that subconscious personality and all of the habits, the instincts, and how those emotions get interpreted happens here, which might lead to emotional security or emotional insecurity. Can go either which way with that moon, depends upon how we're aspected to it. And if memory serves, we're hot on the heels, we're not too far away anyways, from the rising. So we are maybe 5 days or so, if memory serves, post the new moon rising. Yeah. So we're at an interesting time for this session, not just astrologically, but in our world at large, where there's certainly no shortage of information floating around these days. So as we head into the session here, in just a minute, I'm just trying to think if there's anything else I want to say about any of that. If the spleen, if the stomach, if the earth element, if worry had one thing to sort of broadcast it throughout your entire being, it's your essence. It's the essence of who you are. Who you are as a human being to be here on this planet, on Earth, at this time. And there's a lot of layers to that too. On that note, I've been talking for a little bit. I'm gonna invite you to just get nice and comfy, cozy. And as I scroll through the questions and the notes, I'm not seeing anything too much to address just yet, but do feel free to pop them on in as they arise. And I'll say this as you're settling in, I've been getting so many thank you messages that you're most welcome. And it's really, truly a pleasure to get to work with you all and to serve in these ways. Tomorrow, we're gonna be diving into our next session, which is on sadness and overexcitement or other forms of joy that seem like there may be a little bit more work or struggle in a way. So we'll talk about those, big topic. And as we work with joy, sadness, and that balance, we're working with the fire elements, which correlates to not just two meridians, but four. So there's four meridians that hang out here that we're going to be diving into tomorrow. Yeah, it's often the juiciest one of them all. So I look forward to tomorrow, and I welcome you all to share this series as much or as little as you feel called to. Thank you to everyone who is sharing. I really super appreciate getting the word out and letting people know. This is going to be free and available, complimentary, until June 8th. So you have until then to sign up, and then the recordings you'll have lifetime access to. They'll be available for you. Okay, loves. I think that's all of my announcement stuff. Oh, and tomorrow I'll also be talking about Buddhas and butterflies. I don't think I talked about it too much yesterday, but I did briefly mention it on day one and two. So I'll delve into that a little bit more. And the doors will be officially open for Buddhas and butterflies. A few of you were able to actually sneak in. I've seen a few registrations roll through from how the website was set up. So you're already noticing and you're already signing up, which is great. And I'm going to talk more about how to do all of that tomorrow. Okay, gang. As we settle in for today's session, I'm going to invite you all to begin by making any micro adjustments. If you could be 10% more comfy, how would you settle in here with your body, with your mind? Maybe you grab a blanket. Maybe you grab something else for comfort, whatever that might be. And as we settle in even more comfortably now, I'm going to invite you to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to connect to life, to receive inspiration. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go, to surrender, to make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And as you receive its support, if any part of that feels pleasant or at the very least neutral, opportunity to take a moment to be with that, to receive that in a way, blessing it with your attention, your focus, your essence, your presence. And as you drink that in, receiving that, I'll invite you to rinse and repeat this in now maybe a slightly more conscious or engaged way. I'm going to invite you to now scan for something pleasant or at the very least neutral. And that might be externally or that might be internally inside of you. And as you scan, letting your gaze, your attention land on anything that you find that's pleasant or neutral. And as it lands there, noticing what it is you like the most about this thing. Perhaps it's the texture, the color, the shape. Perhaps it's what it reminds you of. And perhaps it's simply the way the light and the shadow seem to play, move here. And as you drink that all in, taking time and space to receive this nourishment, the invitation now becomes to notice the impact and if any part of that feels pleasant, or at the very least neutral, taking time to savor that too. There's time to take this in. And as you receive this nourishment, I'll offer you my thanks. Thank you for being here and being you. My gosh, thank you for being you. And thank you to all that's gone into that. Oh, you're not just your family, but the ancestors, the lineages, and the very earth that's provided the nourishment. And as it provides the nourishment for the existence of us all, the deepest of thank yous to those that have caretaken, that have stewarded this earth for us, for the benefit of us all. Thank you. Om Shanti. And as you begin now to maybe scan one more time, I'm curious if there's anything particular that's calling your attention. And if there's anything strong or something that you just wish to declare, sometimes there can be power in declaring our intention for our session. You're welcome to type that on into the chat feature. And as we head into the first part of our session, we're starting off, not surprisingly, with lymphatic circulation through the head brain, the gut brain, and the heart brain, and then out to the entire nervous system. And as we clear out not just toxins, gunk, waste, also low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, perhaps it's overthinking and overanalyzing that are contributing to that low self-esteem. And as we work with it this time, we're specifically focusing on clearing out patterns around the tendency to criticize yourself or make yourself wrong in some way, shape, or form. It's been a bit of a theme over the last couple days in varying ways, and it's here again. How is it we make ourselves wrong? And as we clear that out, I'm seeing in particular work at the synaptic connections. So the synaptic gap is a fancy word for where two nerve cells meet each other. And no two nerve cells ever touch. There's always a space, a gap. And that gap is where all of our, again, fancy word, neurotransmitters, our chemicals like serotonin or GABA or dopamine or adrenaline, those are a few that are more commonly known, will travel down the nerve pathway. Then they'll jump over to the next nerve when there's enough chemicals that have built up. And there's enough nerve, enough electrical charge also built up to support that transmission. Now, it's a broad brushstroke. The essence of that synaptic gap, synaptic cleft, is orienting to the consciousness today of transition. So as we work with this, how does you make yourself wrong? Might actually lead to one of two things: excessive transition, so always jumping around from thing to thing to thing, Or it might be the other way around. It might be not wanting to transition. No change for me, thank you. I'll stay right where I am. And that's sort of a pattern of, we could call it rigidity or fear of change or lots of different terms, but that's the essence of that. And as we work with that, we're actually going to simultaneously address just that, the fear of change itself, releasing from the spleen as it's the anchor for the lymph system. And then we're connecting that into the spleen meridian, spleen / pancreas meridian, for its functionalities in nourishing our muscles, giving us the ability not just to build our muscles, but to sustainably keep them happy, healthy, nourished. And we're also working with the capacity of worry and its role to make us think when we need to, but not to overdo it when we don't. And then the other spleen meridian functionality that we're working here with is regulating our rhythms of our life, our cycles of our life. That can include the menstrual cycle and any other things that have a rhythmic quality to life, whether that's the cycle of the moon, the cycle of the seasons, or your own cycle throughout your day, your nights, and the circadian rhythm, which ties into a lot of other things as well. Oh, and there's one more. We're working with the spleen meridian's capacity to house our thinking, which gives us capacity to be focused and clear on what we're doing. Okay, that's a lot. As we head into the spleen / spleen meridian to address some of these things, and we're going to start off with an emotional release of shame. So again, that tendency to make ourselves wrong, as well as the emotion here of worry. And it's almost as if the worry is about the shame. So there's shame here, and then there's worry about the fact that there's shame here. It's like, oh, what are we going to do about this? And that's actually just compounding the shame and the worry. It's creating a bit of a sinkhole, a bit of a downward spiral. And it's keeping everything nicely, like, corkscrewed into that spleen energy. Mm-hmm. So to address that, the first thing that we're going to do is head into the solar plexus chakra, the chakra of digestion, of not just food, but emotions, life, experiences, everything in life. And as we work with the solar plexus chakra, it's almost like the fire went out. So we need to connect it to the pilot lights of the body. The pilot light of the body hangs out in the lumbar, the low back, around lumbar 2, lumbar 3. So close to the middle of the low back, and has a series of 3 acupuncture points, governing vessel 4 on either side, and bladder 23 right in the middle. Fancy TCM word is the Mingmen, the pilot light of our body. And as the pilot light of our body runs, it's actually meant to take in external world energy and use it for fuel, to nourish you from the inside out. And if our external environment isn't supporting that, it can compromise, well, not just our pilot light, but our overall vitality in our world, in our being, in our system. And as we work with this, we're actually just taking off a series of times in which you felt not just overwhelmed, but to the point of like hopeless or despair energy. And it looks like most of it's actually been processed, but it's like just these shells of, you know, things that just forgot to get cleaned up a little bit. So we're just doing like a spring clean, so to speak, of stuff that's mostly already been processed or digested, it looks like. And as we clear that, underneath that is the stuff that hasn't been so digested around world and the internal system and how it's responding. So here, we're going to bring in the eighth house energy. It's definitely a theme this week of rebirth and regeneration. And we're running the permissions here, just finding the words. The words here are, there gets to be new life now. there gets to be new life now. And as soon as I say that, I see this little like spark of energy hit the pilot lights. And now it's starting to, I'm using the train metaphor again from yesterday, in case you're wondering what I'm talking about, chugging along. So it's starting to get up and running, and now it's chugging nicely along here. And as it's chugging, we're just going to support that by unwinding some adhesions around the low back, around that pilot light. And as we just make a little bit of space in that low back, I'm going to invite you just to make some gentle movements with your hips, or rocking a little bit side to side, or pushing out one heel and the other would also get the job done. Whatever you feel called to, it doesn't need to be big. Just little movements. And as we offer the energy of just a little bit of movement, it's as if it reminds the Ming Men of like, oh yeah, right, this is how I get to move, and this is how I get to not just move and groove internally, but it's also how I can move energy through how it is I'm perceiving, receiving my external world. And if there's any particular judgments that are ready to go, that are making that process stickier than it needs to be, we're going to release that too through this low back energy here. And as we get new life, connecting that through to the solar plexus chakra, and in the same way that that spark landed in the pilot light, it gets to land in the belly, in the spire that's meant to give rise to healthy digestion. And here we need to do a balancing from a Chinese medicine perspective of the fire and the water elements. And if we just pour water into a fire, it puts our fire out and we can sizzle. However, if we can keep our fire stoked, the water can create in a way like a steam. A nice healing steam where we might be able to clear some things. And as we essentially balance fire and water in this way, for those of you who like steam rooms, some of you might not, you can almost imagine that there is that same energy that gets invited into the body as if you were hanging out in the steam room. And I see that it's just gently unwinding and relaxing the entire digestive system. Mostly it's going through the pathway from mouth through intestines to anus, including that stomach. And then I see it just gently making its way over to the spleen, but it's almost like there's a bit of a roadblock now. It's like the spleen can't quite take in this unwinding, this nourishment. It's too busy focusing on work or its job. And it's almost like it's numbed out, like it's not even aware that there's this capacity of richness here. It's like, yeah, I don't have time for that. It might feel amazing and awesome and really great, but the spleen's just like, yeah, I don't know about that. So as we sit now with the spleen, giving it a little bit more time and space, anytime the words, I don't know about that, appear, it's a sign that there might be some confusion lingering somewhere in the body-mind. So to support this, we're going to run TMJ to SI reciprocal. The TMJ is our jaw joint. The SI is our sacroiliac. It's our low back. I really like that word, sacroiliac. It was made famous in a song, Let Your Backbone Slide, from the 80s, in case you all remember that. I'm dating myself a little bit. And then the TMJ, the jaw joints to that low back, sacroiliac, work to in a cross pattern, so left and right crossover. And as they link up together in this cross pattern, in a reciprocal-like fashion is what we call it in body talk, it's meant to support digestion. It's actually meant to support the health of all of your digestive system meridians. And we're going to bring in the natural planetary energies here of Mercury and Moon to support the stomach and the spleen, respectively. And then we're also bringing in one more planetary energy of the Sun to give warmth, to support this newfound fire, this spark of vitality here. And it's almost as if the spleen starts to pay attention. It's like, oh, there's the energy of the sun behind this all. Okay, new growth, new life. I'm listening, I'm interested. And as the spleen begins to receive this nourishment, releasing the pattern of, I don't deserve this, simultaneously. And as that, I don't deserve it, fades away, the stomach, pardon me, the spleen takes in even more nourishment. And I see just a general unwinding through the entire left side of the body, as if the pattern of deprivation, of not having enough, of not taking in nourishment, was seemingly more easeful in the past. And as that energy around needing to deprive ourselves begins to unwind, we're actually releasing those belief systems that are related in that field. Deprivation is safe. Better to go without. And then the third one, I'll eat last. I'll eat last. Which I think is a great one for all the moms out there. And I don't know about you, I'm not a mom, but I tend to get all my busyness in my day done, and then I'm like, oh, right, I'm food. And I sometimes forget to eat during my day. So if you're prone to that, whether you're a mom or not, it's here for you as well. And as that goes through the left side, I see the left sit bone drop into the earth and receive that connection to Mama Earth. And as it receives this energy of Mama Earth, there's a link into the chin. It's like, oh, it gets to be easy now. The chin often carries the energy of I gotta work hard. Comes from birth, as we talked about birth yesterday. We didn't talk about this part, that the chin often is the part that's struggling as it's moving through the birth canal, and how it is we move through that canal can set the stage for our sense of how hard we have to work for things, how easeful things can come to us that are nourishing. So we're actually just working with this pattern here and now of how easily am I allowed, specifically the feminine within you, allowed to receive nourishment. And then we're linking that into all things yin, all things feminine, into conception vessel 17 point that hangs out roughly in the center of the sternum and governs all things yin, all things feminine. And we're linking it into a sea of, in its own way, vitality, which hangs out below the navel. I sometimes mix up this number. I want to say it's conception vessel 6. I sometimes mix it up with 4, though. And as we support this taking in of nourishment through these conception vessel points, these acupuncture points, I see that as feeding in the lower belly, the lower dantian, or the lower burner. I'll talk about that in just a second. And the one in the center of the chest is feeding the middle burner of our triple heater meridian. So our triple heater meridian also works with digestion. The upper burner works with taking it in, the middle burner with the actual digestion of it, and then the lower burner of releasing and eliminating. So as we work with that, the lower dantian, that lower burner, also connects us to our core, the core essence of who it is we are, which is roughly where we began, or close to it, the session, as we worked with lymph clearing out anything in the way of our essence. And as we work again with that pattern of, I've got to work hard, or things can't come easy, or else it's not worth it. And as we release that through the chin, linking into the lower dantian, conception vessel points alike, we're going to run a seed tree on those conception vessel points to address that pattern. Sidri stands for C, circulation of all the healing resources, blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains our toxins, our gunk, our waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness, right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Also working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, anxiety, depression, that help out our nervous and our immune system alike to heal. Then circulating the balance of yin and yang and hydration. One more time. Then moving on to the defrag, much like a computer defrag, a spring clean. Taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains be readily reorganized, utilized for healing. All of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. And then integration and introspection shift the underlying consciousness. Perhaps thinking of this as the surrender, the release, the letting go. Okay. And as that works, through all things yin, supporting the feminine, and being able to take in nourishment with even greater ease. Linking this all into house number 4, the house of the spleen, which is that house where all of our ideas of who it is we think that we are and that constellation and that makes up our persona interacts with our environment in a way that's meant to keep us safe and feel protected. And here, part of the heels of deprivation is this idea that I shouldn't have boundaries. I shouldn't have boundaries. So as we work with this one, I'm going to invite you, some of you have done this with me before in varying different ways, to take your hands to your, as you've heard me cue this, to the shoulders, and pushing out, making a little sound, and letting the boundaries, as you explore them today in this way, as if for the first time, even though you might have just done it, letting the hands stop wherever they feel drawn to, and in a way, wherever they stop, declaring that this is your space, this is your boundary. And you have a right. You have a right to protect yourselves in those ways. And then rinsing and repeating that, as much or as little as you feel called to potentially go in different directions, whatever that might look like. So I'm going to invite you to play with that one as much or as little as you feel called to in the next minute or so here. And as we run it this time, running the permissions of, I know where I am. I know where I am. I know where I am. That's linking into, and feel free to keep playing with the boundaries part. It's linking into a time in which you were in utero and you actually couldn't make sense of what was happening. In part because mom and dad couldn't make sense of what was happening. So a time in which there was a piece of turmoil happening in mom and dad's life. That set the stage for disorientation. Now that might have been a singular one-off event that landed in a light way. It could have landed in a really heavy way. Or it could have been a long-standing pattern. Maybe mom and dad were in overwhelm most of the time when you were in utero. Now leading to never really sure where up and down and left and right and anything else was, being really challenged to orient. And a whole lot of confusion energy got trapped with that. Disorientation. And I'm going to invite you to now engage in a different somatic exploration as we link that all into where the muscle of orientation is, the SCM, sternocleidomastoid muscle. And the SCM, the sternocleidomastoid, hangs out in a few places, just behind the ears, the mastoid part of it. The sternum and the clavicle are a little further down the neck and the other end. And it forms basically a triangle. And this triangle has a few other muscles that support it, but one of the big things that it does is it turns your head from side to side, which helps for you to know where it is you are in space. And as we work with this muscle and clear out a little bit of excessive hypervigilance, which is leading to the panic around, I don't know where I am, to invite that in a gentle, easeful way. I'm going to invite you, if it's comfortable to do so and your neck is all right to do this, to just gently turn your head only one direction and then come back, moving as slowly as you can tolerate. And then this time turning to that same side, but maybe letting your body go with it. And as we're doing this, I'm running that permissions, I know where I am. And again, moving as slowly as you can tolerate. This time, as we do it, we might actually stand up. So we're gonna turn neck, body, and then stand. Good thing I wore Zoom pants today. Sometimes we get away without that. But I'm wearing real pants today, not just sweatpants or something. And then I'm going to invite you to do it one more time. This time, if you have space to do so, I actually kind of don't, to turn your head, turn your body, stand up, and to walk around. You can go all the way around your chair and sit down even better. And then we're going to do the other side. When you're ready. And just before we do the other side, just pausing to notice the impact of what that was like for you. But at any point in time, there's things feeling too much, take good care of yourselves. You can stop this and hang out with that resource that we found at the very beginning, that thing that felt pleasant or neutral. Now, if you're ready to join me, we're gonna head to the other direction. So we're gonna start off slow, turning just the head. Moving as slowly as you can tolerate, as if through like mud or jello or cement, even that's wet, not fully dried. And then turning our head, this time letting the body go with it. In a way, what this is doing is letting the SCM know that it's not alone. It doesn't need to panic, that we're listening, that we're here with it, and that we're paying attention, that we're oriented with it. And then as we turn our head to the side, taking the body, we might even stand up. Now I'm going to be challenged to walk around my chair because my massage table is blocking that. But if you can, I'm going to invite you to go all the way around. And if not, I'm just going to turn around in a circle. So if you don't have space, you can use that little cheat method with me. Okay. So this time we're turning head, body, standing, and walking around as much as you can, which I can't at all with my setup. Okay. And then settling back down again. I know where I am. And that SCM begins to not just calm down in and of itself, but the muscles underneath it, the deeper neck muscles, the scalenes, all the way through to the splenius capitis, the longus capitis, the varying deeper muscles that hang out in the back of the neck that inserts into the back of the skull where it joins the spine. All begin to soften. It's like, oh, finally, we're getting paid attention to. We like this. This is good. So to support them, excuse me, We're going to run circulation of all the healing resources through to the neck, flexors, and extensors alike. And we're going to run that permissions again. It's safe to know where I am. Slight modification. It's safe to know where I am. And I just begin to see the neck muscles separate out just a little bit. So that way they can independently move, but they can also move together as a team and recruit together. But there's choice. They can also individually fire. It's almost as if all the heaviness of confused energy had the neck muscles overly fused together. Which is really, really common. Again, especially when we're trying to make sense of our world. And this is again linking into that point of birth, fresh out of the gate, as you're taking that exhale and trying to sort things out. What was happening in the environment around you? Did it feel like a safe, welcome place to explore this for the first time? Were you greeted in a way that felt like it was an emergency? Were you greeted in a way that felt like it was forceful? Or any other way, however it is you were felt that you were greeted when you were born. As we release that particular layer of charge, it's ready to go with that. It's coming off of, again, all of those neck muscles, as it just created a layer of, disorientation, confusion. Where am I? How do I navigate this particular situation? Especially when we're newborn and we don't have a lot of options available to us. When we're born, we have breath, movement, sound, which is a lot. And yet in our world, when we're first born, everything seems a lot bigger and it's harder to even see what's going on. We can only even see about 16 inches. We can see the distance from the nipple to mom's eyes. And that's about it. Everything else is kind of like foggy, hazy, doesn't really exist. Something maybe even a little bit confusing in how it is we're perceiving anything else in our environment that's away from 16 inches. And as we start to unravel some of these layers of confusion through the neck muscles, I actually also see some old fight energy releasing through, in particular, the back of the neck and the shoulders alike. Almost as if the decision was made, if I don't know where I am, I'll just muscle my way through life. I'll just push my way through life. I'll demand, control, insist. And that might even be in the form of playing victim, martyr. Or it might be, in the form of leader. Yeah. However it is unfolding, and maybe it's all of the above in other ways, or none of the above in other ways. As we begin to essentially allow some space for that to release through, to be seen with greater clarity for what it is. Linking it into house number 12, house of endings, releasing, letting go through that liver meridian, and releasing the karmic patterns that's carried within it. Then we're going to tap this part in here. Invitation to breathe. However the body mind feels called to. Okay. And then through the neck, we're unhooking a piece around, wanting to figure things out or struggling to figure things out or thinking that you have to, and all the pressure around figuring things out is here. Along with any judgments that you've made about yourself around how easily or how challenged you may be to figure things out. And those judgments might be, I'm smart, or I'm silly, or I'm dumb, or whatever it may be. And as we unwind those judgments through the neck muscles, taking a little layer of that pressure off around having to figure things out, running circulation of lymph one more time through the neck, head, face, where well over a third of our entire lymph system lives. Then running the permissions and sinking specifically into the face. And the words here are, it's safe to face forward. It's safe to face forward. In essence, not having to turn away. Not having to turn away. When we're first born, we're very capable of turning our head from side to side. It's the first motion that we're born with, so we can root, so we can search for the breast, so we can feed. And we're actually linking the essence of rooting, that capacity to turn the head side to side, to the base chakra, the survival chakra, which is very interested in finding and locating food. And it's all being defined by the consciousness of finding that sense of empowerment. It's like, oh, I can do this. I know how to do this. I can turn my head side to side and find food. And those times in which you felt quite victorious for receiving nourishment, for finding that nourishment, and for taking it in. And then being able to rinse and repeat that whole process to support your presence, your essence, your existence. And I just hear the words like, I did that. With a sense of empowerment. And we're just simply linking your heart and that sense of like, I did that, to the heart of Mother Earth. Imagining in a way that Mama Earth, perhaps your own mother did this, perhaps not, says, I'm proud of you, little one. I'm proud of you, little one. And as you drink in that attention, recognition, expression of love, invitation to pause here. If it's too much, you're welcome to take your attention to that resource as we tap that part in. And we're bringing in a couple of things as we bring this all in for a nice soft landing. I have a song, it's about 5 minutes or so, that I'll play. And it'll dovetail, I think, really beautifully with the note that we've ended on, which is, the power of love is here now. This is a song. And it's by Alexa, I can never say her last name, Alexia Chellun, C-H-E-L-L-U-N. And just before I play the song, I'd love to offer my thank yous for being here. And thank you for calling this medicine in. Such a rich, deep pleasure to share this all with you in these ways. After the song, if anyone wants additional one-on-one support, feel free to hang out. Those of you listening to the recording, feel free to reach out anytime. And as we bring this on in for a nice soft landing, all of my love and gratitude for all that you've done to work with this material for your own self, for your families. No small thing. Invitation to breathe here. Right where you are, or keeping your attention on that resource that we found at the beginning.
of love is here now. The power of now is here now. The power of you, me, is here to create magic on earth. The power of love is here now. The power of now is here now. The power of you and me is here to create magic on earth.
Here right now. Thank you all for being here. All my love, and I look forward to hearing and receiving any other questions, comments, queries, and thank you to all of those who have a message. The feedback is consistent with what I often notice. I thought that session was just for me. And as we sign off for today, a reminder of cortices and diaphragm 2 intestines to support you in taking really good care of yourselves as well. Okay. Mwah. Yes, we ended at 11:11. I think that's really cool too. You're most welcome. Okay. Bye for now, y'all. Bye.